from sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 230. Yes, it is a brand new episode, and I am joined by the very wonderful Deborah Scott. She is a whirlwind. I have just been reminded of that as I've been editing. She is most certainly a force to be reckoned with. And I'm not going to tell you anything more about her. I will let her do that for herself, which she does exceptionally well. I'm racing a little bit because I want to get this intro done and edited so that I can get the episode out to you before I meet with my lovelies in less than an hour. So time is against me. What I've also done is split the episode into two. It wasn't an overly long one, but I really wanted to get something out to you today, running very late. As always, it is Sunday afternoon, and I just wanted to get something out for you. And this way, you get the first part, and there was a sort of reasonably sensible place to stop as she came to the end, really, of telling her story, and before we got into talking about a few other things. So I thought I would get that to you, and the rest of it, I promise, will be with you on the normal Friday at the end of the week. It's a bank holiday here in the UK, and there's all sorts of festivities going on in Hastings and St. Leonard's. It's their Green Man Festival. I say Green Man, it's the Jack in the Green Festival. I do beg its pardon. It's an event that goes on all weekend. I haven't actually been down to join in with any of it. I've been a bit too busy, but I look forward to seeing more of the photos. I've already seen some of them. There's a great big procession tomorrow. Maybe I'll have time to go and have a look at that, but it's a pretty big deal apparently. Lots of dressing up and singing and dancing, and apparently there's a drum off today and Morris dancing and all the things. Sounds like quite a lot of fun. I have been busy, as usual, with the video editing in the main is the one that's taking up most of my time. I've just finished editing Terry's masterclass for the fasting method, and next I move on to Nadia's and then Megan's. So if you're interested in signing up for a TFM masterclass, you can do so at their website. Just go to thefastingmethod.com and you will find details about it there. Nothing overly excited to tell you anyway. Life carries on pretty much as normal. The weather has been glorious, really warm, really sunny. Although I did just dash out and get the washing in, it's starting to rain. Of course, there's the phrase that's on everyone's lips, well, the garden could do with it. Yes, it is rather nice when we have prolonged warm and dry spells in lots of ways, very selfish ways, I guess. And yes, I'm sure the gardens could do with it. Maybe the rain could keep itself to overnight. That would be perfect, wouldn't it? Dogs are well. The fly situation is ramping up a bit with Rocket, so he has been a little bit on edge sometimes. But so far, so good. He seems to be handling it okay. I've settled in really well to my new fasting regime and have really applied the repeated directive that comes out of the fasting method, that consistency is key, and I have actually managed to be really very consistent for over a month now. So it's time to take it up a notch, and I'll tell you how that went at the end of the week, as we will get closer and closer to my goal of doing 2 or 3 42-hour a week, 3 fasts a week, that's for sure. Of 24 hours, but like I say, I would like to change at least 2 of those into 42 hours. But so far, so good. I am on plan and it's ready to turn it up a notch. So we'll see how that goes. And I'll tell you more about it in the next episode. But overall, really happy, feeling very good about it. My blood sugar levels have come down. Not that they were high, but they could have been lower, and now they are lower, so I'm very happy with that. Lost a little bit of weight, feeling just generally better, more energetic, less of the afternoon slumps and snoozies that I had before. So overall, I'd say it's going really well. But let's leave it there so I can get this edited and out to you. Deborah does mention quite a few things in this and the next episode, so I will put all the links and details in the show notes, together with some pictures of her and her husband's progress, and also, I have to say, a very glamorous photograph of her taken in an evening gown. Looks wonderful. So you can check those all out in the show notes. They should be up round about the same time. If not, they will most certainly be up tomorrow. And I'll update them with, she did mention to me that there's another presentation that she's doing. And so I will add that as soon as I get the details from her. But without further ado, I will hand you over to the whirlwind that is Deborah Scott. See you on the other side. Welcome, Deborah, to the Keto Women Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you, Daisy. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, it's lovely to meet you. It's lovely to see you face to face. I saw a post about you. I think it was in the Spilsby Low Carb Facebook group, wasn't it? I think Heather had shared a post and I thought, well, that sounds very interesting. I want to talk to this woman.
Great. Happy to share my journey.
And that's, I think, am I right in saying you're both in the same sort of area? Did you say you're in the northwest of the UK?
Yes, I'm in Blackpool, northwest coast.
And where's Spilsby? Is that in the same sort of,
do you know what,
area?
I'm in that many Facebook groups for low carb and keto. I'm not too sure where Spilsby is. And I just kind of pop in and out of various Facebook groups. You know, people ask questions. And if I think, oh, I know how I dealt with that and I can help a little bit, then I just join in, whichever. So to be honest, I really don't know where Spilsby is.
I will have to Google it afterwards. I've got a feeling it's Yorkshire or something. Yeah. Lincolnshire maybe? I don't know. Somewhere up north.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Geography is not my forte.
Us southerners, we always say that. We always get told off for saying that, don't we? Up north. But you say down south, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. It works both ways.
Absolutely. So we're here to talk about you. So why don't you tell us a bit about you? I know you're very passionate about all sorts of things. It's like with so many people, I think it's things that they've learned, and when they turn their health around, they become passionate advocates and want to help and share their story and help other people and build communities and all the rest of it. But it always starts, of course, with your story. So let's hear about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go back to 2017, the beginning of December. I made an appointment with my doctor because I'd not been feeling very well, actually. And I'm quite a well person, or always had been. I'd got this heartburn that was just not going away, and it was weeks. And also IBS symptoms as well. So a mad dash for the toilet. Occasional dry mouth, which I didn't really think too much about. And actually, as the symptoms went on over the weeks, I did think it was something sinister. And that's why I booked into the doctor.
Yes, because I was going to say, because all sort of individually those things, although the IBS is something that you'd go to a doctor with, but the other things are kind of small things that you wait for them to stack up a bit before you go to the GP about.
Well, that's it. But I'd never suffered with heartburn, apart from when I'd had my children, which was donkey's years before. I was 54 when I went to the doctor. I thought it was maybe hormonal as well, going through the change. But then when it was persistent, I thought, well, I better get it checked out. So I made an appointment at the doctor's. He did some blood tests. And I did say about my dry mouth, I did say, because we do have diabetes in the family, so do you think it could be something like diabetes? And he said, he did a finger prick test on me in the morning. And he said, I very much doubt it. So that was that. That put my mind at rest. And then we got the blood results back. And also I had to go for a scan. And the scan showed up a fatty liver. And the blood test showed up that I was type 2 diabetic. Mm-hmm. And I went for my appointment. They called me back on the 8th of December. I won't forget that date, 2017. And I was told I was type 2 diabetic. And basically, I was absolutely devastated because I'd seen how my mum had, she was type 2 diabetic as well. Actually, at the time, my mum had passed away 14 years ago. I thought my mum was type 1 diabetic because she was insulin dependent. Right. And not knowing a lot about diabetes, I just associated that with type 1. And it turns out she was actually type 2 and she'd progressed from the medication onto insulin. So I just kept thinking about my mum and all the ailments that she had through the diabetes. She was registered blind for the last few years of her life. She passed away at 74. She had neuropathy, so much so that she trapped her fingers in my car door. She never felt a thing. Her feet, obviously, she didn't have much feeling sensation in her feet. She had sores on her legs. I remember the community nurse coming around every day, basically, to dress these wounds that just weren't healing. All sorts of health issues, kidney issues, and high blood pressure. She'd had a stroke as well. So I just was thinking, oh my God, I've got the same as my mum. This is what's going to happen to me. Yeah. So I went, well, actually the diabetic nurse said, we need to put you on medication. Metformin and statins were mentioned as well. So I just said, can you just leave that with me for a couple of months? Because something was ringing a bell. I'd read something that you can reverse diabetes. Didn't know how. So I ended up just going home. And after I finished, I was unconsolable in my husband's arms for at least 24 hours. I don't think I stopped crying. But once I did, I got on my internet and I just Googled two words, reversing diabetes. And it took me, amazingly, to diabetes.co.uk. A stroke. Of, it was brilliant, yes. Honestly. Never looked back. And the forum. And I just kind of lurked for a couple of weeks, just reading and sussing out how you were going to reverse this diabetes. And everything kind of pointed to low carb. And a lot of people were on this keto. Now, I hold my hand up. I didn't even know what a carbohydrate was or what a keto diet was. So I was just learning, and I'm still learning now. It'll be 5 years in December. I still learn something most days. The forum members all have little signature panels. And in the signature panels, you can see, you know, the statistics, and you can see like the HbA1c, which is the 3-monthly blood test that tells you basically how much sugar you've got in your blood, how they were coming down, how the blood pressure was coming down, the weight significantly.
Like a stats panel for every
member. Absolutely. Oh, but brilliant. Also they were adding little things that, you know, this way of eating was helping them with, like the migraines disappeared, diverticulitis disappeared, psoriasis, skin conditions. And I just thought, I'm going to give this a whirl, you know. So I kind of, like I said, I took some notes. And what my diabetic nurse did say to me was, now, I said about blood sugar testing with a little monitor, and she said, no, you don't need to do that. What we'll do is we'll just do regular blood tests for you. And at the time I thought, well, to me, it would be better to actually be testing my blood sugar to know what I'm dealing with. Mm. But anyway, on the forum, they actually did say that get a blood glucose monitor and also a food diary. So I thought, well, these are the experts, you know, I'm going to follow what they say. Not that the diabetic nurse wasn't, but these are the people that are dealing with the diabetes on a daily basis. So I followed their lead. So I got myself a food diary. I got myself a blood glucose monitor, and I started testing before I ate and testing 2 hours after, just to see what was actually affecting my blood sugars. You know, basically you want it back down to base.
And all of this, I mean, this is something that you can do that it's not going to do you any harm.
No, so, exactly.
You know, why not? All it is more information. And yes, I know sometimes too much information is not a good thing, but you were in this research mode and you wanted to find out more about yourself. So
absolutely,
just, you know, it's not going to do any harm, is it?
Yeah. And we're all different as well. That's what they did say on the forum. We are all different and we deal with foods in a different way. But I have learned over the nearly 5 years that practically most type 2 diabetics are sugar intolerant and carb intolerant. So, you know, a low carb diet or a keto diet is going to be very beneficial for 99% of them. I know some people might do it with a low calorie. You've got to find your own way of dealing with it. if a low calorie diet works for you, or Slimming World, or, you know, something that you, where you get the support and it works for you, that's fine. But this completely worked for me. I found out exactly what was putting my blood sugars up and what kept my blood sugars low. And basically it was the starchy carbohydrates, which it verified it when I actually got a continuous glucose monitor. So you can see that 24/7, and you can see what your blood sugar's doing during the night.
Saves your fingers a bit.
It does save
your
fingers.
If you were wanting to like test all the foods, it just, you start getting very sore fingers.
Well, do you know what? I never really did have sore fingers, actually, because you just kind of move around a bit. Mm. I did test a lot at the beginning and did my food diary. And then I had a little app called, it's My Sugar, MYSUGR. So you put your readings into that, and then it kind of gives you an estimated HbA1c. And when I was diagnosed, my HbA1c was 62. So anything over 47 is type 2 diabetic. And I could see with the readings, it was coming down with changing what I was eating, adjusting my portion sizes, upping my fat intake, you know, the healthy fats. I didn't even know there was a healthy fats until I came across diabetes.co.uk.
Well, it's so we've had for so many decades. Healthy and fat do not belong in the same sentence.
Yes, yeah. Or fat makes you fat. Yeah. Whereas, you know, I know it doesn't, because I increased my healthy fats. I lowered my starchy carbs. I actually eliminated potatoes, pasta, rice, and bread. I swapped for like a low carb bread, and I made my own bread, and cereals completely went because you might as well just eat a bowl of sugar. That's the way I look at it. So with those small but significant changes, I could see my HbA1c coming down on this My Sugar app, and I was feeling so much better. Now, actually, Daisy, after just a few days, my symptoms that I'd been suffering with for over 2 months had disappeared.
Fabulous.
No dry mouth, no IBS. I'd stopped mad dashing to the loo, and the heartburn had disappeared. So much so, they were going to actually do, you know, the tube.
Endoscopy. And,
I didn't want to go for that. And I didn't have to, because that disappeared. So straight away, I was feeling better. And then I went back to my diabetic nurse. I asked her if she'd give me 2 months. I went back in 2 months' time. And I'd lost 2 stone. I felt like the fat was actually melting away. And I came through the door loaded up with all my paperwork and files and cuttings from papers and, you know, Tom Watson or whoever was like reversing diabetes.
Ready to fight your corner.
Oh, fight my corner. And she said, my blood results were in and I was pre-diabetic, 47 HbA1c, 42 to 47 is pre-diabetic. And she looked at me, she said, nobody's done this before. And I thought she went with all my cuttings. And I said, I know I'm a bit mad, aren't I? She said, no, reduce the HbA1c that quickly. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was sad in a way that really it was just the change of diet, what I was eating that had done this, nothing else, no medication. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I went back again at 5 months' time, and I was in the non-diabetic range at 41. I'm actually 36, and I did a little test actually this morning, because I do a home HbA1c as well. I am a bit obsessive with it, and I do it maybe once a month, and it's 5.0 this morning. So I started at 7.8, down to 5.0 today, and I've maintained that for the last 3 years. It's quite easily as well. You know, I don't really have to think about it too much now. I know what I can eat and what I can't eat. I might have had a bad day. You know, if you go to a wedding or a christening, there's not really a lot to eat there. So you try and work your way around it, and your blood sugars might go up a bit the next couple of days. But I'm back on it. It's just a way of life now. And I've done it for 5 years. I'm surprised at myself, because I never thought I would be able to be so focused on anything, really. But I know how it makes me feel. It makes me feel great. I know I lost 4 stone, over 50 pounds. I've maintained that weight loss. And honestly, I worked in a big office for 30 years, and I've done the grapefruit diet, the egg diet, the 1,000 calories diet, you name it, I've done it. And yes, you might have lost a few pounds for a wedding or Christmas or to get in that little dress, And then once that's finished, you're back to what you were eating before, and it all goes back on again, and some.
Exactly.
And it just crept up over the years, you know. So when I was weighed at the diabetic nurse, I was 14 and a half stone, and I got down to 10 and a half. Actually, I did have COVID then, so I lost another half, well, 5 pounds, and I don't want to go to that stage again because I looked too thin, really. So I kind of leave it around 11. I'm happy with that. And that's where I've stayed. I maintain it at that quite easily. Feel great. My husband tells me I look great. He's biased. and actually, because of what I've done and basically how easy I did it, I went and joined the patient participation group at my local surgery. I thought I'll infiltrate and see if I could get to the patients to help them. And it worked. And they've taken it on board because my diabetic nurse is absolutely behind me and the diabetic team and the doctors. So they gave me my own patient-to-patient session. And I go in with a suitcase loaded with all sorts of sugar infographs, basically. So, you know, you've got your egg, which has got no sugar in it, and you've got your slices of bacon and your ham and your cheese and your cream and your butter. And then it goes along the table to the starchy carbs, and then the ultra processed foods, which I always say, you know, it's just a minefield with the ultra processed foods. And I just honestly, when I show them a jacket potato, just a medium sized jacket potato, and also I've got my graphs for my continuous glucose monitor to back it up, you know, that it was like a roller coaster, you know, when you're having all these starchy carbs. So to show them, they just can't believe it. They say, wow. So the penny drops, and I just love it. And, you know, I know that I've helped a lot of people through my own surgery, and I like to help in my area because it's very challenging. And I think, well, I can't help my mum now. You know, she had suffered with all those ailments and through the diabetes and going for more and more medication and ended up on insulin, and it still wasn't helping. Then I can help other people because I know what can help them. And I just hope that eventually all surgeries will be giving out the low carb or keto information, or just give us the choice, patient choice.
Exactly.
That's really all we want. You know, it's up to the individual then. I mean, I have had people, somebody that was diagnosed at the same time as myself, he just wants to, he said, oh, life's short. I just want to eat what I want to eat. And, you know, his medication, and he's got his skin issues and various health issues, but he's happy being able to have his Chinese on a Saturday night, you know, have his fish and chips, have his wine every night or whatever, you know, his lifestyle. He's happy with that.
His choice.
And that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, I've kind of given him the wherewithal and other people, but it's up to, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I've got a special needs family member as well. That can be challenging. He doesn't like my cooking. So he's going over to the shop every day and getting what he wants, and his HbA1c is up, and, you know, but people have challenges. And also I've come across a lot of people on my own journey that have, life's got in the way. They've had a bereavement. That can be a shocker and can rock your boat. And, you know, you want the comfort food, and I completely get that as well. But I think it's a case of, okay, trying to deal with that and try and get on board, or, you know, tomorrow's another day. We all have bad days. So anyway, that's it really. So basically I was classed as in remission by my diabetic nurse within a few months. The symptoms had disappeared, and I was feeling fantastic. So I thought, do you know what? I'd lost 50 pounds, and I kind of a bit of a blogger. So I put like a post on diabetes.co.uk, and I said, I've lost 50 pounds. Can't believe it. I've got to get a whole new wardrobe. And the press team actually saw it and said, how about we get together? And I said, yes, that'd be brilliant. How about we get together? We'll all bring our big trousers and have a photo shoot. We'll get in all the papers. This was 4 years ago. And we'll be able to turn this round in a matter of weeks. Everybody will see that it works and exactly what diabetics have to do. And then Bob's your uncle and everything will be sorted. And unfortunately, I discovered that's not quite the case. So, there was a few of us that got together from the forum. We put leaflets together. We share them out to anybody that wants the information. And that's our way of helping, and obviously the forum is amazing, 24/7 somebody's there to help. There is help out there. It's very difficult with the GP surgeries. You know, they kind of shut down, didn't they, through lockdown, and limited appointments or Zoom appointments, and people were comfort eating and drinking. And I know that a lot of people have struggled and put an awful lot of weight on. So we've got other epidemics and pandemics in the background, you know, obesity and diabetes, but there is help out there. And that's what I want to tell people. There is help. There is a lot of forums out there. I look particularly like Facebook, the diabetes forums out there, that, you know, there is help. And that's all I want to tell people. And also, it does not have to be progressive, because they do tell you diabetes, type 2 diabetes is progressive disease. It doesn't have to be. I'm still medication free. Long may that last. My HbA1c is what I class as, well, it is non-diabetic. It's in fact lower than my non-diabetic husband's with the way I eat. And it comes natural, really, now. I don't even think about it. I don't count calories. I don't even count my carbs. I just know what works and what doesn't.
Well, that was what was so good about doing that groundwork at the start, you know, the testing that you did, the food diary that you did. That's the beauty of doing something like that. It feels like a lot of effort, and frankly it is quite a lot of effort, but especially if you can harness that initial rush of enthusiasm and motivation and get that data, get that information, so that, like you say, you then, after time, you don't have to think about it anymore, because you know, well, this affects me this way and this affects me a different way. And as you go along, you know, you can make note of changes, because quite often something that affects you in a certain environment, certain mood, certain amount of sleep can have a different impact a different day and things like that. So it sounds like you put in a really good, solid foundation that has freed you up now to, you know, to, you not only were you successful, but it's the maintenance. I mean, that's what the classification is, isn't it, of a successful quote unquote diet, weight loss, a weight loss diet. The classification of it being successful is not so much the losing weight, it's the maintenance after a year, 2 years, 5 years. And, you know, the percentage of success rate falls dramatically, because almost anyone can lose the weight. It's keeping it off, it's maintaining it that's the difficult bit. And you mentioned there before about, you know, there are different ways to reverse type 2 diabetes. You can reverse type 2 diabetes with a very low calorie shake type diet. You can do that, but then what do you do? Because as much as you can reverse it and put it into remission, and probably very quickly, you know, there are these different 800 calorie a day diets and all the rest of it, and you can get there, but then what do you do? Because you can't carry on like that indefinitely. And as quickly as you reversed it, you can reverse that reversing. So, you know, you have to have something that's sustainable, don't you?
800 calories, you know, it's miserable. It's just not sustainable.
It's misery. Miserable. That's what it is.
Yeah. And shakes. I can't think of anything worse, to be honest. I've eaten real food. I've never been hungry. In fact, I don't even think I've not got the same relationship with food now. Whereas before my diagnosis, I would be having my breakfast, thinking what I was going to have for my lunch, having my lunch, thinking what I was going to have for my dinner. You know, maybe have as I worked in a big office, there was always cakes and biscuits being brought in. So now I eat when I'm hungry, for one. I wake up in the morning, and if I, like this morning, I wasn't hungry. So I just had a coffee and cream. And at lunchtime, I had a low carb bread roll with some cheese and onion. And that will, I don't know when I'll feel hungry now, probably 6 o'clock. I normally eat about 6 o'clock. And so I never even knew what intermittent fasting was before I was diagnosed, but I kind of do a little bit of that, but not purposely, if you know what I mean. I normally I normally don't really have breakfast. So it's normally a brunch. So absolutely don't feel hungry, no cravings. And the weight loss, I've maintained it, but probably because of that, because maybe I'd probably just eat twice a day now and don't think about snacking and having all the bits in between. So it's, I found the maintenance quite easy. Although I must admit, I do weigh myself most days, because what happened, how I actually ended up putting the 4 stone on was my mum passed away and I didn't think it was important to weigh myself anymore. I was just absolutely beside myself. And when I eventually got back on the scales, I put 3 stone on or whatever. So it was a shock. And I don't want to ever go back to that again. I never want to go back to the point where I'm struggling every day trying to lose weight again. I'm just happy where I am, and I want to make sure I maintain it. I'm okay. I know that my blood sugars are fine with what I'm eating. I could actually probably put 3 stone back on and keep to a very low HbA1c. It's what you eat. Mm. That's what counts. So yes, I'm still on it because I just don't want to go back to being that overweight, unhappy symptoms. I know that, yes, I'm in remission, but I also know that it could, if I, you know, let go of where I am, it could go back, you know, because I was in that boat. I could probably get back in that boat. I don't know, and I don't want to find out. So I'm happy where I am.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about these groups, these one-to-one sessions you have. I know you said they've changed a lot, obviously. So you started having them pre-COVID. You could have them face-to-face, and they've just, you know, just transitioned to being online. I mean, maybe they'll go back to being face-to-face or small groups or something. How does that work? Yeah. I mean, and the other thing I was going to say was that it's the perfect way, isn't it, to get that foot in somewhere like your local doctor's surgery, is just by showing them, is by blowing them away when you come back for your 2-month appointment, when no doubt they had the idea in their head of exactly how that appointment was going to go. They knew how it was going to go. You were going to come back and nothing much had changed, and you'd progressed a little bit further, and they were going to, you know, sort out medication and give you some advice on what your next steps were and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So when in fact what happens is you walk through the door, you've dropped all this weight, you've dropped your HbA1c dramatically, you know, what can they do but ask you what you've been doing? And then they don't need to question it or figure out whether to believe it or not, because it's not on paper. It's right there in front of them, you know, wowing them.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect way to not only get in with them, but then to transfer that on to helping other people and helping the other patients. Because ultimately that's what they want to do, isn't it? They want their patients to
Well, do you know that, Daisy, that's what takes me to why I'm so passionate about it, because the type 2 diabetes guidelines and the pre-diabetes guidelines, still the same as the day I was diagnosed. Eat plenty of starchy carbs, the Eat Well guide, the Eat Well plate, eat lots of fruit and vegetables, very little fats, very little red meat, little dairy. And that is not going to help a diabetic, I'm afraid. The majority of diabetics need to stay away from the starchy carbs. Even some fruit, I found through doing my blood glucose testing that probably berries are the best for me. I might have an odd slice of apple. I was never really big into fruit, but the only thing I did used to have as a working lunch was 2 bananas. And when I did come to testing bananas, I was like, no. and vegetables as well. Obviously, the above ground vegetables are much better for me. They don't really have that much of an impact on my blood glucose. Below ground veg can, you know, I did a stew and the next day I was like, whoa, with a below ground veg. And it can take a couple of days to come back down as well, but it's a learning curve. So the Eat Well plate is, it might be okay for some people, but to say that's a one size fits all, including diabetics, this is where my passion came from. That needs to change. We need to be testing to see what works for us individually. We need to be given blood glucose monitors. Obviously, I think they did used to give blood glucose monitors many years ago, and then they decided, I think people were selling them on eBay or whatever. So then they stopped. And like my diabetic nurse said, oh, it's all right, we'll just do HbA1c. We'll see where you are. Well, what if you've gone up then? You know, I've seen personal stories that they followed the guidelines, thinking they're doing okay, and they go for the next test and it's gone up. So, you know,
it's a great test to have, isn't it? But it's just not quick enough. You know, you need that information on a day-to-day basis, not wait for another 3 months before you get tested again.
But anyway, they've taken it on board, my surgery, and I work with several local surgeries as well. So that's brilliant. And as I said, I joined the patient participation group. From there, I did ask if I could have a room locally, and they sorted rooms for me, and I did talks. But when you've got a lot of diabetics in the same room, or a lot of people with insulin resistance, as during the pandemic, that's not a good thing. Mm. And we've not got back to doing those just yet. So at the moment, it's all done by Zoom. They did give me sessions every week. I had patients from morning till night, or just maybe a morning or an afternoon when they could sort me a room, patient to patient, which was brilliant, because you're actually face to face. You can, like I said, I got my table of sugars out. Dr. Unwin's fabulous public health collaboration. I always point people towards that. Dr. Unwin's infographs, which is fabulous. Put them all out. Leaflets, print all the leaflets off for them. My list of swaps, just say, this works for me. You know, have a look at what you might be able to swap it to. Like, instead of having your rice, cauliflower rice, or maybe on a bed of cabbage and halloumi fries instead of chips, or just giving them alternatives. And working individually with a patient is brilliant, because you can see what they're struggling with. A lot of people have got many challenges in their lives, you know, financial, relationships. They just don't think they can come back with having put so much weight on. But when you show them that little, you know, small changes can make a big difference to how you're feeling. Like I said, within a few days, my symptoms had disappeared. And also I did have a brush with COVID early on, actually, before we knew it was COVID. I had COVID symptoms. And I think because I'm type 2 diabetic and I was better metabolic health, I'm here to tell the story, because that was quite severe at the beginning, wasn't it? So it can just help in so many ways. And you just feel better in yourself mentally as well. And I've got so much more confidence and so much more energy. And consequently, I just want to spend some of that energy helping other people. The one-to-one sessions are brilliant. But at the moment, I'm just actually preparing one for tomorrow. It's a Zoom. I'm working with the social prescribers for obesity and diabetes. And also, I will say yes to any interviews. I've been on the sofa with Holly and Phil.
Yes, we were talking about that before we started.
Talk
about. I can't imagine much that would be more nerve-wracking than that. I'm very impressed that you managed to actually speak.
I am, actually, because I couldn't speak the day before. The night
and
before,
so how
we
did
hotel.
That come about? How had you come into their awareness?
I think it had just progressed from me when I lost my 50 pounds. And a friend of mine is a photographer, and he did the photo shoot. And I posted a little blog on the forum, and the press people came from diabetes.co.uk and said, "Oh, would you mind doing any interviews in papers?" So at the Daily Telegraph, and not just me, other people that were all doing the same. It's not just me that's doing it. It's a multitude of people. I'm quite vocal. So I just, yes, put me down for that. So I've been in various magazines, various newspapers, and we're on holiday, actually, and I got a phone call from the press team saying, "Oh, they want somebody reversing diabetes." I always call it remission, actually. And for this morning, I nearly dropped my phone. And I just said, "Yes, that's fine." I never even thought about it. And then when I thought about it, I couldn't stop thinking about it for the rest of the holiday. So anyway, I did it. And I thought, if it helps one person, I'm getting it out there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, talk about a great platform to get the message.
Amazing.
Out to other people. And did you get some feedback from that? You must have.
Oh,
done.
Yeah. Yes, it is disappointing, though. Lots of feedback to start with, and then it kind of dies down, and then you don't hear anything. And then I might do something else. Like, Dr. Paul Mason invited me to do the low carb All Stars in Australia. Like I said, I've been all over doing the talk. I've even done them in different towns to other diabetic groups. Never been as far as Australia.
Well,
I only did it virtually.
Virtually, yes. And you were saying you were reading some of the comments, because that's just come out on YouTube. And you said you'd been reading through some of the comments, and it's been really well received.
Yeah, it's only been out a few days, because what Dr. Paul Mason was doing is he's dropping, it was probably about 10 months ago now, so he's dropping a few of the talks each month. Yeah. So mine's just come out. I was absolutely delighted. And the comments are heartwarming. you know, what they were saying was, we need more of these success stories. I think it's great when you've got your doctor saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. But hearing from the experts, and I don't class myself as an expert by any means, but from the people that have walked in these shoes, you know, that can tell people what works and what doesn't, I think that's what people need to hear, because a lot of people haven't got the time to do the research. I'm very fortunate. I work for myself, so I can give myself a few days off and do what I need to do, but not everybody's in that boat. So I think I'll do all my research, and I've got leaflets on everything, and I can send them out by email. So I've got a little bit more time than a lot of people. So yeah. So basically it was one of the hairiest experiences of my life, probably the hairiest, actually. They were lovely, I must say. They were lovely. The whole team was lovely. I got my hair and makeup done. Yeah. And my husband actually joined me. Now, I'd love for him to have come and sat next to me, because he's my rock and he's my support. And he actually had, he was on one blood pressure tablet, and they were threatening him with another one. And he said, Deb, I don't want to do this. And I said, well, why don't you join me? You know, why don't you do keto? And he said, I'll do it on the 1st of January. Actually, it was probably about the 3rd when the food's gone and after Christmas and New Year. And I did a graph, because he tested his blood pressure, and he did it on a little app on his phone. And you can see it coming down.
Brilliant.
Within a fortnight, it was, and he's avoided going on a second medication. He doesn't actually need a medication at all, but he's kind of, it's his comfort blanket. He's like, I don't know about coming off it completely. So basically, he's avoided going on a second medication, but he lost a stone and a half. It didn't even try. It was just with changing to making a few changes. So he enjoys the low carb way of eating. We are quite keto a lot of the days, and probably I would probably say I'm like 20 grams to 40 grams of carbs most days, and he is as well. And it's worked for him as well with the weight loss. So he's lost a stone and a half and maintaining for over 2 years. I'm maintaining I lost the weight by July 18 and still the same today. Mm. So I've never done that before. So it's just amazing, really. And I was sitting on the settee next to Holly and Phil, and Dr. Zoe Williams was there actually as well. And she was mentioning the low calorie. So we've kind of had a bit of a battle going on.
Did
really.
You?
I did it low carb. Yes, but you can also do it low calorie. And I went, but my way was low carb, and it's really beneficial, you know. I think the low calorie, I always think, I've known, because of my continuous glucose monitor, you can see what spikes your blood sugars. And it's this constant spikes that are going to affect your, you know, it's probably going to have complications in the future. It's the constant spikes, and you want to avoid them. So the low calorie, you know, you could have a low calorie day, but you could have something that really spikes your sugars. So that's what I try and avoid as well. I try and keep the spikes out of my life in the hope that I avoid any complications and getting back into the type 2 boat.
Well, I just think you're so much more likely to go completely off-piste when you're restricting the calories like that and miserable and eating things that aren't particularly nice, and you know, trying not to gnaw your own fingers off, you're much more likely to swing dramatically back the other way. I'm not saying that keto and low carb doesn't have its challenges, and you not necessarily depends on the person going to completely lose all those cravings and not necessarily going to get derailed sometimes, but it feels like less of a knife edge than very low calorie does. And like we said before, yes, you can use it to get you there, but you've still then got to do something when you get there.
Yes, yeah.
So it can only ever really be a temporary thing.
Yeah.
So you might as well just do what you're going to do forever from the start.
Yeah, but I enjoy what I eat as well. Exactly. You know, what's not to like about a steak, Diane? Creamy sauce with mushrooms and lots of garlic.
What's not to like indeed? That sounds delicious, doesn't it? If you've been listening to me for much time at all, you'll know how much I love my delicious keto food.
So that was definitely right up my alley. In fact, I might have to make it sometime soon. Sounds very, very tasty. As I mentioned at the beginning, I will bring the second part of our chat to you at the usual time, at the end of the week on Friday. So until then, I will leave you with this week's end quote. I say I will leave you with this week's end quote. I have not prepared one. Let's go to my reliable James Clear newsletter. I'm sure he will have something that I can use because he almost always does. Let's have a look. Here we go. This one's perfect. So thank you, James Clear, for this week's end quote. If you know where you want to go in life, people tend to help or get out of the way. Both of those are useful. I hope wherever you are, you're having a wonderful weekend. If it's the UK, it's a long weekend. I'm not sure if it is in the rest of the world, but if it is, I hope you enjoy your long weekend. Bank holiday Monday tomorrow here, which probably means it's going to rain. I shouldn't wish that on. Touch wood, it's not going to rain. It's going to be another glorious sunshiny day, which will be perfect for the Jack in the Green procession. So please take very, very good care, and I will see you at the end of the week with part two. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.